It's very much to my liking. I just don't like that we're being forced into this. Good work, Walter. Put the list on my desk. I'm going to go for a walk, Alex said. Walter gave him a sad smile and bobbed his head once. Leaving his study, he set off for the dungeon. Carla fell in behind him without a word. She hadn't seemed as tense lately, at times almost managing to be friendly with him. Gonna fuck her? Carla asked. No, but I'm finally going to offer her a few deals. Will fucking her be part of it? Maybe. Why? Are you jealous? Would you like me to make you a deal that involves you bending over my desk again? Do you long for the feel of close that foul mouth of yours before you attract flies with it? Alex put on his neutral face for Carla and kept on moving. She's adapting fairly well. Harder to maintain the power with her. The control is difficult. Probably due to her being present so often around me. Need to start thinking of a few offers to throw her. Like maybe hiring another personal bodyguard so she gets days off. Or gets more than a couple hours sleep every day. We'll do that. The guard at the door to the dungeon opened it without a word for Alex. Stepping inside, he found another guard standing in the corner. My lord, said the guard. She say or do anything? No, my lord. Quiet as a church mouse. Alex nodded his head. He hadn't expected anything different. Moving over to Valeria's door, he looked to the guard. Open it up. Two, you go in first and make sure she's nice and calm. Carla wrinkled her nose, but pulled her mace clear from its ring on her hip. She unfastened the small shield she kept on the other hip and belted it around her forearm. The guard unlocked and opened the door for Carla, who stepped in with her shield up and mace ready. Sit down in the bed, Carla commanded. Good. Now stay there. Alex took that as his cue and entered the cell, pulling the door shut behind him. Valeria looked none the worse for wear, though considerably dirtier, with her hair a wild and tangled mess. Come to finally rape me, then? Valeria asked, pulling her knees up to her chest and hugging her legs. No. Besides, you look filthy. If I wanted to hump dirt, I could go outside. No, I've come for something else today. I want to make you a deal, Alex said, coming closer to her. Valeria shook her head and rested her chin on her knees. I know you probably can't speak about your previous employer, and that's all right. Whoever it was gave you up to your fate. No one has contacted me about your release, even though I had Rudolph put word out that we'd captured someone on the property. I mean, if you think about it, we gave your employer a very easy opportunity to claim you, pay a fine, maybe, and collect you. They did not. Valeria's mouth became a flat line, her eyes glittering dangerously as she glared up at him. That more or less makes you mine to do with as I please. I'm, as of yet, undecided on what to do with you. So, while I make a choice, I figured it might be fun to make a deal or two with you. Valeria's brow twitched before she schooled her face to neutrality. She was a trained assassin that relied on her acting and ability to get in close. One that probably studied politics and people. He could use her. He just had to figure out how to break her first. What kind of deal? She asked after a pause. And there's our starting point. Alex smiled and began to explain the oath of secrecy, the rules of the game, and all the ways things could go. Chapter 9. And I can say no? No repercussions? Valeria asked again. She seemed quite hung up on that point. Alex nodded his head, barely keeping a handle on his calm. None. Valeria chewed on that for a while again. They'd been down here with her for quite some time now. Carla sighed, her patience wearing thin. It's all right, too, Alex said soothingly. He moved over to stand beside her and lightly patted her back. In a much lower tone, He whispered for her ear alone, "You're doing very well, too. Very good. I appreciate all that you do. Let's talk about a reward after this, all right? Maybe a day off, a special meal, something special just for you, okay?" Carla glanced at him, her eyes angry. "I promise, I mean it. You're doing good, too," Alex said, gently rubbing the spot between her shoulders. "You've done so well that you're owed something nice." "Yeah?" she asked after a beat. "Yeah. So calm down. Let me deal with her. And we'll go get you something. On me, okay? No deal or anything like that." "Okay. Thank you," Carla murmured, the anger in her eyes dying out. Turning to Valeria, he smiled. "Do forgive, too. She's doing her job and is very good at it," Alex said, not stopping in his petting of the ex-bandit. "Yes, she's a good attack dog," Valeria said with a sneer. "Now that's uncalled for," Alex said before Carla could respond. "I think I'll punish you for that behavior, though I'm not sure how yet. First, do you wish to deal? Time is up." A smirk spread across Carla's face at Alex's remark about punishing Valeria. "Yes, I'll deal. Though I'm sure you'll just want me to bend over and grab my ankles for every deal as they are." "Hardly. First, how's your food?" Valeria tilted her head to one side, regarding him. "Barely enough. If I were doing any sort of training, I'd be wasting away," she grumbled. "How about I start by providing you a meal equivalent to what we could get at an inn? And before you get lost in semantics, I'll specify my point," Alex said. "A meal that could be purchased at a reasonable middle-class inn here in the capital, with nothing hidden or missing." The assassin said nothing. "Would you be interested in that?" Alex pressed. "Yes, but what price would you ask?" He'd thought on her personality for a while, or at least what he'd observed of her personality, since he didn't know much. He'd have to win her over through his deals, twist her into looking forward to his arrivals. With Riley, it would be kindness and compliments. She was more a question of time than intent. With Sylvia, if he could manage to trap her, it would be by playing to her desire for a game, a challenge, only to outplay her into a permanent position. Carla, he would need to simply batter into submission until she didn't fight anymore, through patience and without anger, with a hint of kindness. But Valeria was different, and Alex wanted to test his theory about her. "I'd get to spank you several times on your ass, as hard as I like, with my hand, for every meal you consume, though you'd dictate the frequency of your meals. If you wanted 5 meals in one day, you'd get 5 meals. But I'd get to turn your ass red with 15 swats when I like, as I like. With my hand, of course." Alex hadn't stopped petting Carla the entire time, stroking her neck and shoulders in a calming fashion. He did focus in on Valeria as he spoke, though. This was his gateway into her mind if she accepted it. She might hem, haw, or bicker, but if she accepted it, then he knew he had her pegged. "You're a masochist, my little Valeria. You enjoy pain, because otherwise you're empty. It lets you feel something, anything. You're a void of emptiness, aren't you? Nothing is completely real unless you're in pain. It reaffirms you. You need a firm, cruel hand to guide you." Valeria blinked, then put on an act of looking annoyed. Alex knew what to look for. He saw the momentary widening of her eyes, her breath catching for the barest of seconds, her fingers clenching into her arms. He doubted anyone else would have interpreted it as complete interest, though. 3? That seems abusive, especially if I don't get a say in how hard, Valeria said. You have 2 options, agree and swear it on your oath, or say no and I leave. No harm, no foul. Fine, I agree, and I'd like a meal immediately, Valeria said, letting her legs hang over the edge of her bed. I'm starving. I hoped you'd agree. I have a meal just so ready. Now, how about you turn around and bend over for me? I'll take my 3 and leave you to your meal. Valeria blushed a deep, dark red, similar to embarrassment, but he'd bet on it being excitement, and slowly stood up. She turned around, placed her hands on the bed, and bent over for him. Reaching behind with 1 hand, she pulled the tunic up until her rear end was completely exposed. In doing so, she exposed her nether region to him completely, her slim nature making it quite visible. It was delicate-looking, and her skin was starting to unmistakably flush red. Valeria wasn't looking at him, though, but facing the wall. He imagined she was doing her best to hide whatever emotion was on her face. And there's our gateway. I look forward to turning you and having you work for me, my little pain jockey. Alex smiled at the pretty woman across from him.
I'm sorry, I just don't think I could do that, she said.
Understandable. I do appreciate you coming, though. Please enjoy yourself out there, meet some people, or, if you like, feel free to head home. Whatever you're comfortable with, of course, Alex said. She ducked her head and left the well-furnished interviewing room without another word. Carla sighed and shifted her weight from 1 foot to the other.
They're all so prissy. It's not like you're asking them to fuck every guard in your employ.
They're noble women, too. Finding someone willing to bend herself to my whims and yet remain intelligent enough to be useful while also being politically convenient is a bit tough. We'll see what happens, though. Lots more women to talk to. I'm sure we'll find one I can deal with, work with.
Carla sighed, then lifted her mace up out of the loop and let it fall back down.
Whatever, so long as you're banging them and not trying to bend me.
All you have to do is ask, and I'd be happy to bend you over a desk, too. You don't need to play coy about it. You were pretty great.
You wish, Master. You wish.
Uh-huh. Speaking of wishes, I'd like to offer you a deal. I've been thinking that maybe we need to hire someone else to partner with you. Give you a chance to take breaks, use the bathroom, sleep more than a few hours here and there, a day off.
Would be nice. So far it hasn't been too hard protecting you, but that can't last. You're too much of an ass.
Yep. I wasn't sure on what to assign as a price, though. I mean, would it be worth sleeping with me once a week to get 2 days a week off?
What? Carla growled, her hot glare landing on him.
2 days off a week to spend a night with me?
It wasn't that bad, was it?
I thought you were great. I'm eager to have another go at you, Alex said, smiling up at her. The month had ended the other day, and his crystal was as clear as glass. Last time it had turned black from Carla. He imagined this deal might just turn it solid black again.
You're an asshole. Why are you so intent on turning me into your private whore? Can't you offer me something more reasonable?
I don't want to turn you into my private whore. I want to have sex with you.
Let's be honest. There are few women I can sleep with who wouldn't put designs on me. I could go seek out a professional, but that comes with its own risks.
Then there's you, the lovely and charming ex-bandit personal bodyguard. Why not press to have you in my bed more often?
Carla looked like she was considering bashing his head in with her mace. He knew she was tired, though. Knew she was already starting to fray at the ends. She needed time off and some downtime, or she was going to break. If she did, she had no way of knowing what he'd do to her. Half of her anger was more than likely at the fear of not knowing the outcome. Offering her an out for something she'd already paid with once might be palatable.
I want you to wipe out my debt to you and start paying me regularly for my salary. That and the 2 days off.
And you'll have sex with me once a week?
Still going to buy me Mother's Bane?
Alex weighed the deal in his head. It wasn't perfect, but it was a perversion of her morals. He'd also made no mention of hiring another person, only giving her time off.
Fine, I'll swear to that. 2 days off, you spend a night in my bed each week, I wipe out your debt and start your salary, and keep buying you Mother's Bane.
Done, I'll swear to that.
I agree and swear as well.
The original oath on Leah's name was enacted and settled.
So, when do we hire another guard? Carla asked, smiling at him.
About that. I never said anything about hiring another guard, only about giving you 2 days off. We can talk about another guard later, and what you'd be willing to pay with.
Did you know your mouth is rather pretty, too? Alex said innocently.
Ah, our next interviewee is coming, he said, dismissing her before she could react.
Carla let out a strangled grunt, leaning towards him menacingly. She was a cold-blooded killer of innocence, a woman who took lives for coin and thought nothing of it. He'd have to batter her down relentlessly if he wanted to own her completely. She'd seek out any weakness he gave her and press it. If she'd simply taken his original offer and not pressed for the gold and Mother's Bane, he'd have been kinder.
Gotta crush any type of independence.
A young woman with an impressive bust walked into the room, her hourglass figure obvious. It was easy to see she would only get prettier, since she looked as if she'd just hit 18. She was dressed rather simply in soft brown and had a sweet smile on her face. Brown curls tumbled down over her shoulders, and her clear brown eyes looked partially empty, fastened to him. She scurried over to him, bouncing the entire way.
Another idiot. Great.
Oh, you're rather handsome, the woman said, leaning across the table and touching his face with delicate fingers. I had no idea.
Her smile became a wide grin as she sat down in the chair across from him.
Anna,
Alex asked, glancing down at his paperwork. Anna Yules? Branch family to account?
That's me, Anna said excitedly.
Before we begin, I'd like you to swear an oath of secrecy. Anna nodded her head.
Whatever, let's just dive in. She'll leave quick and I can move on.
On Leah's name, on pain of your life and soul, that you'll protect my secrets, Alex said.
Okay, I swear on Leah's name to keep your secrets or lose my life and soul. Now what? Are we engaged?
Anna asked. Alex opened his mouth and closed it once.
It doesn't have a dowry listed here.
Oh, that's easy. Daddy is paying 10,000 gold to whoever my husband is. He didn't want it on the paper, though, because he said paper has a habit of leaving trails. It'd be held in trust for my own expenses, but I could share it with you. You have a nice smile.
What in the high hells?
I'll make this easy, Anna. I'm not a good person, and I do bad things.
So does Daddy. What do you do?
I made the woman next to me sleep with me to get a day off.
Oh, that's nice that you gave her a day off.
I came inside of her when I was done with her.
Did you help her clean up after? I hear men are messy with their stuff. I've never been with a man in any way, so I wouldn't know. I usually have escorts with me, though they said I could come in here by myself, which was odd, but I'm happy about it.
Pausing for a beat, he wasn't quite sure if he wanted to respond to her question. I have two women locked in my dungeon that I'm planning to turn into sex slaves and make work for me.
That's nice of you to give them jobs. Daddy was saying unemployment is going up, and it's affecting business.
Alex was completely dumbfounded. If I told you to stab the woman next to me, what would you do?
Stab her. Then see if I could help her, I think. She looks pretty, and you didn't say to kill her, after all. Especially since you're using her for your sexual needs.
All right, Anna. I think I've heard enough.
Great! When can we get married? It'll be nice to get away from Daddy. He's too domineering,
Anna said, pouting. I'll have my people contact you for a follow-up meeting.
Great! Bye, dear, Anna said, standing up.
She quickly leaned over the table and kissed him on the cheek. Bouncing out of the room in the same way she arrived, Anna left him there.
I think I'd marry her myself if she's always that upbeat about everything, Carla said. She said I was pretty.
Well, she definitely had that going for her. And yeah, you're attractive, too. Okay, I guess we wait for the next one?
Before he could worry about how long that'd take, the door opened again, and a woman walked in. The first thing he noticed was how tall she was. Her build was athletic, and an aura of power came from her. Short blonde hair framed a delicate, oval-shaped face with cold blue eyes. She gave him a predatory smile and sauntered up to him.
Hello, I'm Eugenia McDermott, daughter to the Baron McDermott, she said, taking a seat across from him without being invited to do so.
Ah, a pleasure to meet you, Lady McDermott. I'm Alex Britt, Count of Britt, sponsored by the King, unbound and unattached. No children, bastard or otherwise. She paused, as if ticking things off a list.
And your county is trending towards becoming extremely wealthy due to a series of recent changes in tax, import, and export law, some of which I admit I had not expected to work.
Blinking, Alex laid the quill down into the holder and looked at her, truly looked at her. She was dressed immaculately, everything about her put in place. On top of that, she'd clearly taken the time to figure him out to a T, even going so far as to study his recent changes, which makes her desperate or dangerous.
I see you've done your homework, extensively, Alex said, after letting the silence grow for a few more seconds.
Indeed, even going so far as to know your bodyguard there is a recent addition, and actually had a fairly high bounty on her head, which you paid off anonymously through a third party. You're a bit of an enigma. I enjoy solving them.
And that would be a red flag we can't have. I can't imagine her swearing her soul away on secrecy, though...
I'll simply list my own qualities for you so we can move on to the next phase. I have no dowry, as my father has bankrupted our lands, and though we're of a lower title than a count, I do believe our barony is worthy amongst its peers. I need not comment on my looks, as you've seen them, and I do believe I've demonstrated my intelligence already as well, or at least my ability to use my intelligence to prepare myself for a situation. Beyond that, I can read, write, sing, dance, use arithmetic, and know three languages. I do believe I'd be an asset to any man.
Okay, that's, yeah, desperation and danger all in one.
Leaning back, Alex gave her a wide and appreciative smile.
You're right. You are. I'll be honest, though, you might be more than I can handle.
What if I asked you to swear yourself to secrecy, on pain of death and suffering, losing your soul? That you might have to keep secrets dark enough that you'd be sickened, with your morals being sold? Alex asked.
Eugenia's pretty mouth thinned as her mind turned inward.
Think on that,
I'm going to definitely put you down to have another meeting with, though, if only to enjoy your company. Would that be all right?
Hmm? Oh, yes. That'd be acceptable. Thank you for your time, Count Britt, Eugenia said.
She got up and glided out of the room without another word.
Shit, Carla said after the door closed. A real beauty in mind and body there, but I think she'd carve out our secrets faster than a drunk finishing a bottle.
I think you're right.
I'll keep her close, though. Worst case, I pick her up and stick a secrecy oath in as part of the marriage vows. She can take it or leave it. She needs money for her father. All depends on how far she'll broker herself.
Carla opened her mouth, then shut it as the door creaked open. A young woman of average height peeked in. Dark brown hair, bordering on black, spilled across one shoulder when she turned her head to find Alex sitting at the desk.
She's Asian?
Candid eyes, dark almost to the point of being simply black, watched him for a second before she stepped into the room.
I am,
she began, then stopped abruptly with a jump as the door shut beside her. She was dressed in a red dress that covered her up modestly, but didn't hide that she had some figure. Not as much as Anna or Riley, but she wasn't flat or lacking. Alex grinned and then held out a hand towards the seat across from him.
Why don't you take a seat? I'm Alex, Alex Britt.
She gave him a small smile and came to take the seat he'd indicated.
I'm Holly, Holly Lynn, she said,
her hands dipping down beneath the desk towards her lap.
I wonder if you could—
I'm here because I choose to be, she said, interrupting him. Not because I need to be, but—
She paused to look at Carla, then back to him.
I have things that I must do for my family, and one of those is marry into a higher-ranking family. I am not the firstborn daughter, nor the second or third. I must be married off to secure position rather than alliances. We are a very small barony in the East. We have potential, but we also have needs.
Huh. Doesn't seem desperate, but she wants to make a match that fits her. Or so I think.
Well, aren't you direct? Alex said, leaning back in his chair.
I do not think it would be good to deceive you this early. No good would come of trying to commit to a poor contract with lies.
That's certainly fair. Let's turn this around, then. Why should I take you, Holly? You say you don't need to be here, but there are certainly a number of women who do. Why you and not them?
Holly thought on that, her nose scrunching up and her brow furrowing.
Because I will do what is asked of me as your wife. I know my place and position. I would barter myself for you to support my family.
Oh? This might work out to my benefit, then. I could use her as a source of contract power at the same time, couldn't I? Get her to slowly swear to things as time goes on. Or everything in one go. Let's test it.
Alex gave her a feral smile and leaned forward.
Are you sure about that? He asked.
Chapter 10.
Yes, I am sure, Holly said, her pale shoulders straightening.
Well, let's test that then a bit. I'm not a great person. I do what I must. That means you'll end up privy to a number of secrets as my wife. Would you swear an oath to secrecy, as if you were nothing more than one of my people?
I would,
Holly said immediately, nodding her head.
Then please do so, on Leah's name, no less, on pain of death and losing your soul. For the secrecy of anything I tell you in this room today, and anything that happens in this room today. In return, I'll swear an oath that nothing untoward will happen to you in this room today.
Holly blinked, her eyes unfocusing as she stared through his head.
Then I do so swear, on Leah's name, for the secrecy of what's said in this room, and done in this room, on pain of death and the loss of my soul.
All right, she's willing to wade a little bit out into the water. Let's see how deep she'll go. First, I have a dungeon that I'm slowly filling with women. Women I'm turning into personal sex slaves, pawns, or, well, tools. I plan on having them serve me till they die, and I plan on expanding their number significantly. What do you think about that?
Holly's mouth opened, her tongue touching the front of her teeth. I think that sounds like a lot of work, and you could use a helper, or someone to manage the house while you take care of your business.
That's certainly a good answer. So if I cornered my local nobility into giving up their daughters in trades and turned them into whatever I wanted, you'd have no qualms?
No, so long as you continue to support my family and my needs.
Alex nodded to that. It was definitely an answer he appreciated as well. He'd need to dig into the details on what support she needed later. If I had you put in a cell with them to find out what they wanted, what made them tick, their needs, you'd do so? Betray them to me so I could turn them inside out into bed pillows for my own needs?
Yes, if that's what you needed of me.
As an example of what I mean, two here, Alex said, hooking a thumb at Carla, is my bodyguard and personal bed warmer. Once a week, it's in my domain to plow her into a bed and fill her up. For now. Thoughts?
Holly's eyes flicked to Carla and then back. I would hope you've purchased her mother's bane, as I would prefer not to worry about bastards of my husband running around.
Alex smiled at her wolfishly, deciding to close the trap and see how far she'd go for this. Yes, I'm supplying her with all the mother's bane she can eat. Let's take this a step further, though. If I decided I wanted to display my dear two apart wherever we were, Alex said, patting Carla on the rear end, then giving it a firm squeeze, and fill her up to the brim with my seed, then make you chow down on her until you fish it all out with your tongue, what'd be your response?
Holly sighed as her face took on a pained expression. Then she gave him a bitter smile. I suppose I'd be eating out your servant until I was done.
Desperate indeed. Let's push it further. What if I told you that's how you'd be able to get to the next interview, and there'd still be no guarantee I'd marry you?
Holly seemed to stop breathing, her eyes floating from Alex to Carla and back again.
Would this count as your one time this week? Carla asked, getting his attention. She was clearly looking for her own angle in this exchange. Yeah, it'd count, Alex confirmed.
Do you have to come in me again? I leaked for days last time.
That I do, part of the fun. Filling you up to bursting is something I really enjoyed.
Holly cleared her throat, getting his and Carla's attention. She held up a single finger. You wouldn't mount me during this exchange? My maidenhead would be intact? You wouldn't touch me in any way, Alex? I see no reason to give you that if you'll not be my husband.
Oh, yeah. You'd keep your maidenhead. I'd not touch you in a sexual way, Alex confirmed.
Holly nodded her head slowly. She was very clearly torn on this, but he imagined he himself was the only significant possibility to help her family. Then I suppose you better hurry up and get to it. The interviews don't have time limits, but it'd be circumspect if we took too long, Holly said, her tone sounding resigned. Alex knew his crystal wasn't full, and this might just be a deal that could push him along.
All right, let's make this official then. I'm going to mount two and fill her up with my seed. You, Holly, need to get it out and eat it up. I'm not going to touch you during the exchange, but I'm sure as hell going to watch. For this deal, I'd move you to the next interview round and earnestly consider you as my wife. On Leah's name, Alex said, closing the oath for himself.
Holly took a deep, shuddering breath. I agree to the terms as you've listed them. On Leah's name, she said. Heavens help me.
Great. Go lock the door, Holly,
Alex said, standing up. Pulling the tongue of his belt out, he started to work his pants off. Drop your trousers and hop up on the table, too. Time for you to earn your keep.
My keep isn't earned on my back. You hired me to keep your narrow ass safe, Carla said.
She unhooked her weaponry and shield and set it down on the ground. Grumbling, she started to work on her belt. Today, that nice ass of yours is earning your keep. So put it on the table, get on your back, and spread those legs for me.
I was looking forward to this, Alex said.
He didn't want to antagonize her, but in the same breath, he had to keep her shame about the situation up to a degree. Otherwise, she'd be no value in the trades.
What? Carla asked, the annoyance and anger clear in her voice.
Her pants hit the ground with a clank of her belt buckle. All she had left on was her leather armor and the padding under that.
I was looking forward to this, having you. I wasn't teasing when I said you felt great.
Alex stood in front of the table and patted it.
Come along, too, he said, smiling at Carla.
The door is locked, Holly said, rejoining them.
Carla complained under her breath as she got up on the table. Shimmying around, she got to the point where her bottom was at the edge.
First a desk, now a table, she said.
Alex shrugged his shoulders and stepped up between her legs. Reaching up, he started to unstrap her leather armor.
Maybe you'll get a bed next time. Or maybe I'll give it to you in the coach with the new wife watching.
Don't know yet, Alex said.
Carla fended his hands off gently.
Stop it. Just hurry up. We have work to do today after this.
Fine. Next time I'll get you properly undressed, Alex said. I'd love to devour you with my eyes again. Pressing a hand to her shoulder, he pushed her down to the table.
Carla folded her legs, pointing her knees to the ceiling, and spread her legs, settling onto the table.
Taking a peek down, Alex didn't miss that her entrance was wet and glistening.
You're getting warped, aren't you two? Getting forced into the shape I want. Excited about being used in front of another woman and having her eat you out. We'll need to fix up your clothes and hair soon. Get your collar and tag. Not far off, though.
Taking a hold of his girth in his left hand, he reached up with his other hand and gently caressed Carla's hip.
She didn't flinch away at his touch this time either. Content that she wasn't against this, he pressed the tip into her and took a better stance. Laying his left hand on her other hip, he took hold of her. Leaning forward, he sank himself into her depths without any resistance at all.
Carla closed her eyes, her lips pressing together.
Looks like she's actually rather into it and doing her best to hide it, or to stop herself from enjoying it. We can use that. Reaching the hilt, he ground himself against her hood and lips.
He felt her insides twitch, even as her fingers curled into her palms.
Pressing his hands tight to her sides, Alex started to pull himself back and then forward into her again. Pushing himself up into her hips, Alex slid in and out of Carla smoothly, his hands holding tightly to her. He upped his speed and force with each consecutive entry. All the while, he watched Carla intently, trying to gauge her reaction. Her cheeks were flushed now, and her breathing had changed on a subtle level. Finding a good rhythm and burying himself into Carla with each forceful thrust, he looked up to Holly. She was watching the space between himself and Carla intently. Then her eyes flicked up to Alex. He gave her a predatory grin, then deliberately slid his eyes down her body and back up. Holly stood up straighter, her face turning a deep, dark red. Looking back to Carla, Alex sped up, pounding himself into Carla's legs and deep inside her. He wanted to see Holly pushed up between Carla's thighs. Imperceptibly, to the point that he doubted his hearing, he could hear tiny grunts and moans coming from Carla, punctuating each of his thrusts.
"Get ready, Holly," Alex said. Go ahead and crawl under us so you can take over when I'm done with this beauty here. Carla's eyes slid open. They were a little out of it, he thought, but she was mostly there. She was watching him. From what he could see, she was enjoying this now. Grinning at her obvious pleasure, despite her claims otherwise, Alex pumped hard and fast into her, his shaft spasming as he started to peek. Grunting and pushing himself up against her to drive himself as deep as he could, Alex ground down on Carla's hips. With each spurt, he pushed into her roughly. Unwilling to pull away until he was completely done, he held tight to Carla. Letting out a slow breath, he finally felt his climax end. Nothing else spilled out of him. A touch out of breath, Alex bent over Carla and pressed his forehead to her armored chest. I know you don't do anything to help it along, but by the gods and goddesses, you feel good, too, Alex said. Carla mumbled something incomprehensibly before he felt a hand pat him on the back of the head. Get up so she can dig in. I've never been eaten out by a noble woman, Carla said, her fingernails grazing the back of his skull. At the mention of her, Alex felt Holly shift beneath him, her head touching his balls before she jerked away from him. Standing up, he pulled himself out of Carla, making sure to smear his tip against her clit and lips. Be sure to lick that up, he commanded, before dropping into the chair next to them. Holly took a deep breath, then opened her mouth and leaned in. Her tongue slid out, and she began to lap up Alex's seed that he deliberately wiped all over Carla's slit. Alex picked up Holly's interview sheet and began to idly fill it out as he watched. Carla shuddered as Holly finished up with the outside of her. Leaning in further, Holly wormed her tongue up and into Carla. Good. Be sure to get it all out and swallow it down, Holly, Alex said. In fact, if you can manage to get a big clump of it and show me it, then swallow. I'll give you all the questions for the next interview. On Leah's name, I swear that. Alex ticked the box to move her to the bride selection and listed her as a finalist. He wouldn't tell her that, of course. He might be able to get more from her in the second interview, let alone the final one. Holly grunted at that, presumably accepting or declining the offer. With her face pressed tight to Carla's privates, it was unintelligible. Carla's head turned to one side, her eyes falling on Alex as Holly worked her internally. Clearly repressing a shudder, the ex-bandit was obviously enjoying herself, or at least Alex believed so. He gave her a wide smile, watching her being devoured, and was surprised when she gave him a tiny smile in return. My love, Holly said, turning to face him and getting his attention. Her face was sticky, stained with seed and Carla's fluids. Opening her mouth, she showed Alex a mouthful of his seed, her tongue swirling it around to demonstrate it. Then she closed her mouth, visibly swallowed, and went back between Carla's thighs. Damn, isn't she fun? Getting worked up again. Wait, what do I get out of letting her eat me out? Carla asked. Nothing, other than having a noblewoman go down on you. You didn't broker a deal for anything, Alex said. Carla groaned. Whether in anger or pleasure, he couldn't tell. Alex set six sheets to the left side of the table, making sure to put Holly, Anna, and Eugenia on the top. Leaning back in his chair, he stared up at the whitewashed ceilings of the Britt mansion. He'd narrowed his choice down to two of those three ladies, even before Holly had finished up with Carla. At first, he'd put Anna on the discard pile, but with how readily she'd accepted everything, and the sheer size of her dowry, he couldn't deny his own greed. That, and she was one of the hottest ladies he'd seen so far, with a body to match. You put Eugenia in? Carla said over his shoulder.
Yep, she'd be pretty useful. We'll see how she does in the next interview.
I might see if I can get her to do something to make it to the final interview, Alex said, shrugging.
Feel like being eaten out again?
Maybe. You realize you're poisoning the relationship at the start doing that, though? Carla asked. Looking to her, he hesitated in his response. Telling her how he was handling others might give her ideas on how he'd been handling her.
They're all in need of me. Some desperate, some not. The three I picked are more on the desperate side of things. There were women with more connections, better alliance possibilities, or simply better talent. Hell, or just prettier than Eugenia. You saw them. The problem is they all would want to be treated equally. I have no desire for a partner. I need minions, Alex said with a shrug.
Which is why I'm here, rather than rotting as a corpse somewhere, Carla said with a strange look on her face.
Accurate, yeah. You have a skill set I need, and you were in a position I could leverage.
So, it wasn't to turn me into your personal fuck doll.
Originally, no.
That's just a benefit that came secondary with you being cute and built well.
Carla mumbled to herself and pressed her fists to her eyes. She was dressed in her off-duty gear, which was padded armor and a short sword, rather than her full kit. This was what she felt was suitable for wearing in the mansion.
You're such a prick, she said through her hands.
Sorry, too. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to be the Count of Britt, and to rule it decisively. My kidnapping opened my eyes.
You're never going to release me, are you? She said.
It wasn't really a question.
No, Two. You're bound to me until you die.
If it makes you feel better, I don't plan on spending your life frivolously. You're quite valuable to me.
And speaking of value, I'd like to offer you a deal. Simple things, for something I know you want.
Ugh, more deals? You already bed me, you work me to death, and you used me on another woman. What else can you do to me?
A number of things. But I can also give you quite a bit, too, Alex said, folding his hands in his lap.
I never asked about what you needed to do in town with all that money, but I'm going to assume family or friends. An example of something I could do is set up part of your salary to be turned over to someone here for you.
Carla dropped her hands and glared at him severely. Did you spy on me when I went on my day off?
No, just a guess. That's all.
Would you like that, though?
Surprisingly, Carla pouted and nodded her head.
Yes, but you'll want something extreme for it.
Not at all. I'll make this one simple. I want you to wear a collar with a silver and gold tag on it that simply reads, Two. That's it. And I'll do exactly what I said. You would just have to dictate how much to give out.
You want me to wear a dog collar? She said uncomprehendingly.
Yes, Two. I want you to wear a collar around your pretty throat. A nice one, with my ownership tag on it, and your name.
Come now, it's a very simple trade. It costs you almost nothing, and you get something you know you need.
You'll look good in it.
Fine, yes, you insufferable jerk. Yes, Alex, I agree, Carla groused, folding her arms across her chest. I swear on my oath to your terms.
Well and good. I also swear to those terms. Next, I'd like to offer you your own room here in the mansion, your own room in our capital, and the possibility of your own house down the road, Alex said, moving quickly to his next offer.
Carla's eyebrows shot up to the top of her head. She was an expressive woman.
That's unexpected. I thought I'd have to sleep like a dog at the foot of your bed for the rest of my life.
Hardly.
And what do you want for that?
I want you to let me style your hair in the way I deem fitting, and for you to address me as master, unless otherwise specified,
My hair? She asked, a hand going up to her very short hair. Yeah, your hair. And calling me master. For a room here in the mansion of your own. A room in the castle back at Brit of your own. And maybe a house at some point down the road of your own. Why my hair? Carla asked, still fingering said non-existent locks.
Because you'd look much prettier with longer hair.
Carla's face flushed quickly, turning her face to one side. I agree to your terms and swear to the oath, she said.
I accept and agree to the terms as stated. I'll have your room put together tomorrow, too.
Thank you, master, Carla said, not meeting his eyes.
Chapter 11
Alex wandered into the large banquet hall with private rooms attached. It was the perfect location for the ball they were hosting for him, and this time around, they'd invited a number of other bachelors to draw in even more women. After all, if you were already interviewing for one man, why not several? Alex had no doubt he was the top-selling ticket here, but who knew? Maybe someone would show up he didn't expect. On top of that, tonight would bring a new set of women to go on their first interviews. That and the three who'd made it to their second. They'd even managed to make this a masquerade ball, a last-minute change Walter had come up with. They'd been doing an audit on the local warehouses they owned when they discovered several crates full of unused masks.
Something to be said for being anonymous. Remind me to thank Walter for this idea. I might be able to get more information from the new girls before they interview with me. I wonder if I could talk to Eugenia, Holly, or Anna with this on. Keep myself unknown.
Doubt it. He and Carla were dressed much like everyone else. Carla's mace had been modified a bit to look more akin to a cane. At a glance, one would never think it was a steel weapon of death. Carla pulled at the tunic she was wearing, more than likely frowning beneath her frog mask.
Little tight, she said.
That's what you get for being decently filled out. You're the one that wanted to wear a man's tunic, remember? Alex said, leaning up against the table next to her.
Men and women were moving around, talking, chatting, flirting.
Alex had no desire to do any of that right now, and was mostly concerned with watching everyone else.
Still that tongue of yours, master, Carla murmured, pulling down on her tunic.
What? Can't take a compliment? Alex asked.
He reached up to adjust his mask, a badger, and sighed.
Is it almost time yet? This is pointless.
5 minutes more, I think. Want to go in early? Carla asked, her head turning towards a large clock set on the back wall of the hall.
Could we?
I could also think of something fun to do with you in 5 minutes.
That's not happening. And why the hell can't we go in early?
They'll know who you are after the interview anyways. It's not like you'll be secret after that. Besides, the first three are the second pass interviews. They already know you.
That's a good point. All right, yeah. Grab whatever you want from the table and let's go.
I don't want anything from here, Carla said, annoyance in her voice.
I wonder what she's mad about.
Problem? He asked, turning towards the meeting room he'd been assigned.
Huh? I'm not... Well, the food we eat is really... fatty.
And she's not working out the same way she used to.
She's worried about putting on weight?
I see. Well, I know there's a training room in the mansion, if that'd help, Alex said, making sure to make no mention of weight gain.
Haven't had any days off yet. No time. But I will as soon as my day off gets here. I already planned out what I want to do.
Well, for what it's worth, I haven't noticed a change in you. I don't even believe there is one.
Same sleek and sexy too I met on the road, Alex said, opening the door for her.
Dangerous, slightly evil, and just what I want.
He waited as she entered before him. Once she'd looked around, she turned her head to face him, Her eyes looked more than a little annoyed through the eye holes in the mask. "Don't tempt me, Master. I've killed many more for much less." "I know you have. It's why I hired you. Your looks were secondary." The room was simple and given to a very common decoration. It was truly meant for meetings, and that was it. Alex sat down in the chair positioned behind the desk, the only other chair in front of it. "Does the door lock?" Alex asked, pulling his satchel off his shoulder and setting it down. He leaned down and pulled out his fresh stack of interview sheets. "It does," Carla said from the door. "Gonna try to bury yourself in one?" "If I can. We'll see. Otherwise, you're the only possibility." Setting the sheets up in an orderly pile, he pulled the top one over and started reading through it. "Where in the world did you figure this out?" Carla said, staring over his shoulder. "Never seen the like." "Huh? This? It's fairly normal for stuff like this." "What's it say?" she asked, gesturing vaguely at the paper. "Can she read? I wonder. If she can't, I might be able to broker that later with her." "Just basic information, like this is her name, Eugenia," Alex said, pointing to her name. "I could teach you sometime, if you like." "For a deal," Carla said. "For a deal. Though I think I could be generous on that one. You being able to read would be beneficial to me." The door opened, and a woman wearing a blue fox mask walked in. She closed the door behind her, peeling the mask off. It was Eugenia, of course. She gave him a smile and walked over to the table. "Count Britt, it's a pleasure to see you. I was surprised that you invited me back to another interview. I wasn't sure you liked me." "I liked you just fine, Eugenia," Alex said, not pulling his mask off. With her, mystery went further than knowing. "I think the bigger problem was you might not be willing to swear such an oath of secrecy."
I wasn't. Not at first, at least. I am now, though. I think it'd be worth it," she said.
"Oh? All right. Let's start with that, then. You swear to keep my secrets safe, to not betray me to anyone, and to not reveal any of my private life to anyone else. On pain of death and the loss of your soul, on Leah's name," Alex said. He checked his crystal this morning before coming. He'd gauged it as being about 80% full. Holly had counted for quite a bit. For someone so tied up in figuring this out, it might count for a bit with Eugenia.
Yes, I do so swear on Leah's name," Eugenia said after a deep breath. "Now what is it you want to keep secret?"
Laughing to himself, Alex realized why she'd come. He was interesting. A puzzle. The moment she had him figured out, she'd bail. "Now, where's the fun in telling you? You'll just have to marry me to find out. Suffice it to say, it's nothing that would impact or impair my ability to be your husband and care for you and yours."
"Really? No budging on that one?" she asked, leaning forward over the desk and giving him a good view of her cleavage.
"I guess I could, but I think you'd have to crawl under my desk and show me how devoted you are to learning those secrets early. I'd hate to share my mysteries with a woman who wasn't involved in learning them." Eugenia blinked at that, the request snapping through her brain like a lightning bolt.
"Did you just tell me to perform fellatio on you?" Eugenia asked, her voice going up an octave.
"I did. That'd be the price to learn my secrets at this juncture."
"Fellatio?" Carla asked.
"I told her to blow me," Alex said, turning to Carla.
"Huh?
Oh. Huh. Never heard that word before."
"I never," Eugenia said, looking rather angered at the affront she'd apparently been subject to.
"Your call. We can continue with the interview, or you can get to work," Alex said. He'd wanted to know where she fell, and if she balked that hard now, he doubted he could use her later. Her pride and stubborn nature might be too much.
"Or I could leave," she said as she stood up. I will consider your words, and I'll let you know if I would like to be considered for the final interview, though I sincerely doubt it.
All right, there's the door, Alex said, pointing. Be sure